This is Dr. Chip, that's Data Prince Alex. Welcome to the Blue Collar Dynasty Podcast.
We're busting our backs, getting our jeans dirty, and playing next man up dynasty football. We're giving you an in the trenches dynasty talk every week. Please reach out to us on Instagram at Blue Collar Dynasty, where you can get sneak previews of the things to come, and on Twitter at Born Football. That's BORNE football. We'd love to hear from you.
This week, we're talking league check-ins, playoff starts of the week, and the new Dynasty Top Fives. All right, y'all, let's get to it. All right, first thing, I know y'all missed me because you only had Data Prince last week. You probably were annoyed now, with his voice.
Did you listen, Dr. Chib? I mean, that's the real test of a solid partner. Did you listen to the podcast?
I was like, you will give me the highlights. It's funny.
People know that I'm off the hook because, I mean, I trash talked you to high heaven, you know?
Which is sad. It's funny. The reason I wasn't there is because I had a family emergency. I had to take an emergency flight to go see my uncle who was in the ER. So thank you, Data Prince, for attacking me on my down while I was down. Stepping on me when I'm down. It's all good.
I was just messing. I didn't actually.
Oh, okay. We'll see. I'm gonna go listen to the podcast and say on minute 23, second 8, you said
very
this.
Rude. Right.
We're gonna have an X beef. They don't do Twitter beefs anymore. It's not Twitter. We're gonna have an X beef. So anyway, but all right. So things are looking up. But league check-ins. We're talking about what's going on in our league. Real quick, so I was thinking about this. First of all, y'all, I'm gonna be honest with you. Where I'm at in life, I'm depressed. Okay,
oh, no,
for a couple of reasons. I'm talking about sports life. I'm just depressed. Number one, Seahawks, we getting smacked up and down, left and right, and I'm like, what is going on? Right.
Yep.
I mean, we're playing with some heart in some games, but man, we getting killed. So that's depressing me. I also love watching soccer, you know, for the international people with football still. And my team is Chelsea, you know, the Blues. And I got the Blues right now because we're just playing like garbage. And that's depressing me too, right? But on the good side, I'm a Brooklyn Nets fan and I'm a Devils fan. So the Nets have been fighting and doing, you know, good things. They're the best, no, but my expectations are super high, but I always love seeing them win. The Devils, man, they're doing work. So I love it. So. But yeah, anyway, in this current season, I'm a little bit down. So, but talking about, maybe Data Prince, you want to talk about how you feel before I move on?
Sure, sure. I almost got a word in. No, I'm just kidding. you know, going into the season, I think what we thought the Bills would be. You know, probably 4 games up on Seattle. I'm talking to the people, not you, Chib.
I wasn't a part of this we.
No, you're not. You're not.
Okay.
Us rational people thought the Bills would be four games up on the Seattle Seahawks right now, and we're both teams are 6-6. So, you're sad. I'm more sad.
I don't know why you're sad because I told you what was going to happen and you didn't listen. That's your issue. You don't listen to me. I told you. I said, you know, listen.
We're very emotional here in Western New York, and I live and die with the team and mostly die, unfortunately, but die and cry. But let's be very clear. If we lose this next week, our season is over. Like, you're in the NFC where you get to be in the playoff picture at 6-6. In the AFC, in the good division, you know, we don't get to just rest on our laurels for weeks on end.
Name the best AFC team. Go.
We don't have any great teams. We don't have a best team.
Name the best AFC team. Just that's your conference. Name the best teams in the AFC right now. Go.
I absolutely refuse to do that.
Okay.
I
Don't disrespect the NFC.
No, I'm disrespecting the Finns.
Oh, you know, okay. Let me name them for you then. Number one, you got the Ravens, great team. Number two, the Dolphins, great team. That's about it. That's all I got for you.
Yeah. So it's basically the Dolphins and the Chiefs.
Oh, honestly. The Chiefs as well. Great team.
I don't trust any other teams, including the Ravens. I don't trust the Ravens at all. Not without Mark Andrews. I don't trust that passing game to do anything without Mark Andrews.
And that record wise, those are your great teams. Yeah. Right? I mean, when you look at the NFC, Eagles, Cowboys, 49ers, right?
Detroit. Even I would say Detroit is
definitely yes. I'm looking at it. We got four.
See, but the issue is that you guys drop off, whereas, like, after there's like nobody that is worth talking about after the Cowboys.
Well, the thing is, no. Well, here's the issue. the last year the Seahawks were in a what kind of year? Well, it was a rebuilding year, correct?
Playoff it was year. Yeah.
It was a rebuilding year. They said, "Oh, they're gonna rebuild."
Yeah.
And it was a playoff team when we went to the playoffs, right? So even in this year, the Rams are supposed to be in a rebuilding year, and they're 6-6, just like us, right? So my thing becomes the issue is in the NFC. We beat the crap out of each other, and then our records are reflective of how tough the division is or how tough our conference is. The AFC, you all just get injured a lot.
See, that's not entirely false, and it's also not entirely true. So our top dogs have lower win percentages because we beat up on each other more. We have more competitive games. You look at like our bottom squads, we've got a 4-4-2, right? Those are our 10-11-12 seeds. You're 10-11-12, 4-3-1, right? So our bottom is higher. And We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams. 7 teams in the AFC have between 7 and 6 wins. You guys have 5. Right?
Yeah, but look at Atlanta division is so garbage though.
Right. Right. Exactly. They're in the NFC. Four teams out of the NFC, complete garbage. right. There's no division in the AFC that you can just throw in the trash can.
Well, technically there is. Right now, I mean, if you can name one, it'd be the Jaguars division.
Let's see. Can I argue that? Yes, I can argue with that. The Houston Texans.
I know
Texans,
the Colts were 7-5, the Jaguars were like 9-4.
Yeah, they're 8-4.
8-4.
But the Houston Texans are the good team in that division.
Oh, they're in that division too?
Yeah.
Oh, I stand corrected. I can't put them in that situation.
Yeah. The Titans are trash. The Colts, I don't know how they got to where they are. Hey, Gardner Minshew's better than people think, but like you look at what's in front of the Bills and they do have a possibility of getting back into the wild card race. But you look in front of them, you got the Bengals who lost their quarterback. You've got the Colts who lost their quarterback, Cleveland who lost their quarterback, Steelers who lost their quarterback. So we're just banking on being able to beat out. We need to get in front of the Texans and the Broncos are kind of the two competitors right now in that race. And then we've got a whole bunch of really good defenses that we have to contend with the Bengals, the Colts, the, I wouldn't say really good defense for the Colts, Steelers and the Browns, right? So
that's true. Okay, I will say on average the AFC is looking a little better, not by much to me, but on average I'll give you that. All right, let's talk about our actual leagues here. On the record, I did say that Bills will struggle this year for three reasons. Josh Allen is on Madden cover. Stephon Diggs was having a tantrum this summer. And I'm not going to blame him for anything. I think there's something else there that we don't know about. So I'm not demonizing him in any capacity, but he was definitely vocal about such issues. Then Leslie Frazier just randomly disappeared. I said something is off in that building.
Yeah, so. I think the Stephon Diggs issue came from our offensive coordinator. That's what I think. And I think that was the culmination of that issue.
And that's why he got fired.
Right, right.
There you go. See that? So I was spot on in my analysis. That's just make that clear. So anyway, so let's go forward. All right, so looking at the team. So first of all, I was looking at my squad this year. I mean, I think I won two games this year. I'm garbage.
And I clinched the playoffs. So I think I should talk.
You clinched the playoffs.
I clinched the playoffs.
Yeah, not me.
I'm the four seed right now.
Well, good job. Good job. So me, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know what's going on in my life. But
you're the 12 seed, just so you know.
Out of how many? 13? 14?
12. 12.
See that, y'all? I'm horrible. But I will say, I think Data Prince was talking about this earlier with me. He said nothing nothing bounced your way. And that's pretty accurate. But then we started looking at it and we started trying to find the positives in my situation. I'm gonna get the number one pick this year, correct?
Correct.
And you know who coming to the squad. Welcome, Marvin Harrison. Junior. Ooh, it's gonna be a good day that day. Anyway, point is I'm definitely been in a rebuilding phase for the past three years. And but I realized I have some good pieces, right? For example, my quarterback situation is not that horrible. I have Aaron Rodgers and I have Anthony Richardson. So as long as they stay healthy, I'm gonna be fine. Running back situation, I have Jeff Wilson and Zach Charbonnet. And if they can pick it up a little bit. All right. So looking at the running back, I'll talk about the running back situation. So that's looking up. And I could potentially draft somebody as well to add to it. But I know that one, like Damian Harris was one of my running backs. He went out. Deuce Vaughn, they just don't play him at all. So it sucks in that situation. So that was a little bit sad. So that's fine. But then my receiver situation, I drafted Jackson Smith and Jigba this year, and he's been trending upwards. Let's be honest. He's been getting better and better, more comfortable within the offense, and they have to get better at utilizing him. But if he continues to trend upwards and he has like a good second year, then that's where I think that's going to be great. Mike Williams was doing so great for me this year, and then he got injured. So if he comes back next year and he's on the same trajectory, I can be competitive next year. And then you have – then I potentially can, if I can get Marvin Harrison Jr. next year, I'll have a really good running back room, not running back, receiver room with three top receivers potentially. And then going forward, if looking at the tight end position, I have Hunter Henry and David Njoku. And so Hunter Henry, I mean, I'm not super impressed with him, but Alex likes him. So I guess I'll let that go. But then, Njoku,
to be clear, I think just to revise that a little bit, I think he's overperformed what we thought he would be, but he's definitely like a limited guy and he's fairly old. He's just he's the 21st best tight end this year. So he's usable, which we didn't necessarily think he would be.
And the blessing that I have is next year I'm replacing him with Dalton Kincaid because Dalton Kincaid has been cooking this year. And I purposefully put him on my taxi because I didn't want him to get injured because all my good players are getting injured. So I'm just kind of protecting him. So I know our commissioner is mad about that, but I really, like, personally speaking, I just was like, I can't take another great player getting injured, especially because everyone I had on my taxi that I pulled out of my taxi all got injured. And so I was like, I don't want that trend to continue. So to protect his livelihood, I didn't want to carry that curse to him. So next year he can start. Then actually, yeah, so that's gonna be good. I think I'm gonna have a really good tight end room next year, especially if Njoku, man, he's been on fire since he's been on fire. Like he actually got caught on fire. So now he's been like playing on fire, which is really good. So if he continues that next year, I think I can have a chance in that situation. And then kicker, I mean, Brent, what?
Sorry, I've got a question for you. Do you want to pick up Xavier Gibson right now?
That.
So, you remember the guy that the first game of the season against the Buffalo Bills on the Jets, he returned the kick for a touchdown to win the game?
No.
Okay, well, this is him. He's a rookie this year. He just earned 71% of snaps and six targets last week. He's now a starting wide receiver for the Jets.
What do you want right
He's on the waivers.
now? Yeah, right now. It was open. I
Go
think it
for
was
it.
open.
I was just scouting out the waivers. Also, CJ Beathard is the starting quarterback this week for Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah, because whatchamacallit is out. Damn, this is a tough year.
Yeah.
You said Xavier who?
Xavier Gibson. If you go on
Oh,
the
Gibson.
trending up, he's right there.
Yeah, cool club.
It's number 11.
Gotta drop a player. I'm gonna go ahead and drop Simi
No, not him. Just kidding.
Fehiko. I would definitely do that. Let's see what happens. How tall is he? 5'9". See.
He's tiny.
All right. So, and then what's it called? And then me, what else? And then my kicker, Brandon Aubrey, he's been a blessing, let me be honest. He's been an absolute blessing for
I think
me.
he's won you weeks, probably.
Two of my weeks here. And so, yeah, so my kicker situation is solid because him and Myers and Sanders, I think I have great three great kickers. And then Saints, I have as a defense, they've still been trending, they've been doing well, and they're in a trash division. Which I never realized. Pick a defensive team who's decent in a trash division, because you're gonna get legit seven, at least seven games where they have a chance to do something good.
Six, I think.
Six, yeah, three teams, yeah, six games. I'm sorry,
Yeah,
six games where they have something good, and that's great. So if you get two of those teams, that's 12 weeks, right, of good defense. And
I
so,
got
and I have.
Houston right now, so.
Yeah, I might think about picking up another defense and drop. I dropped the Bears, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then that's it. So anyway, for me, it doesn't look as bad, and I also have Jalin Hyatt as a receiver too. So if
Right.
he
He's got
trends
some
up, we're gonna be
potential.
nice. Yes, and
Yeah.
then but yeah, so we'll see what happens in that situation and going forward. But yeah, but very excited for next year for sure. I was excited for this year because everything just went bad. And it happens, and, you know, and I'm proud that I didn't quit, I didn't complain, I just laughed at it, and I said, hey, we gotta just make adjustments. So, I mean, I would definitely get fired if I was a GM of a real team, but
I mean, hopefully you went into that hiring process and said, listen, owner, this is a show. This has got to take 3, 4 years. We're talking slow build, so hopefully that's how you sold it, because
I did sell it. Yeah, I sold it like that. Especially when I saw that my somebody traded away Derrick Henry. I was like, all right, so I see we're just blowing it up. Okay, we're blowing it up. Okay, we're gonna redo this. It takes time to build a dynasty. That's why we're playing dynasty football. It takes time. So, but yeah, I appreciate that Xavier Gibson situation. Now I'm gonna pick him up, see what happens. And I'm gonna start trimming some of the fat. I know I'm gonna get rid of, I might be getting rid of Zach Ertz. In the future, Van Jefferson might gotta go, and now I gotta see that situation. Mark MVS, did you see that meme last week? It says something about someone said they were mad that they didn't call a pass interference call, that would have benefited Kansas City, and someone typed in, they said, the reason the flag wasn't thrown was because the ball was deemed uncatchable since they were targeting MVS. I was like, that is too much. It was being uncatchable.
Oh my god, I love that. I love that.
I can imagine if I was a ref, I'd be like, he wasn't gonna catch that. even if no one was on him, he got no hands.
Yeah, we know him. Oh my gosh,
my flag for that.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's hilarious. Anyway, but yeah, so anyway, I'm looking forward to next year. Good luck to Data Prince in the playoffs for sure. So yep. How's your team stacking up?
So my team's interesting as well. Right now, I have Josh Allen, quarterback. I do have the backup of Sam Howell. I picked him up just in time because I lost Daniel Jones anyways for the season. So Sam Howell will be the backup after he's back from bye next week. My running back position is the strength of my team. I've got a nasty top three, Tony Pollard, Kyron Williams, and Devon Achane. None of who have cracked the top. Oh, Kyron Williams is in the top 12 right now. He's the seventh best. But Tony Pollard's right there at number 13. And Devon Achane, he was incredible for 3 weeks, and then he got injured. And so he's finally back from injury, and he was incredible again. So I'm very excited to have him back in the lineup. Behind them, it's a little disappointing. There's some guys like James Cook who have been actually doing quite well recently. But his ceiling is just so low, is just a little lower, and his floor is lower as well. So that's kind of scary. Jonathan Taylor came back for a second and was doing well, and I lost him again. So hopeful that he'll be able to help me make a playoff push. Alexander Mattison, Damien Pierce are kind of in that same bucket where they've been hot and cold this year, and so it's hard to start them confidently, so they're not going to get in there unless everybody else is out. Wide receiver is my weak position. I do have some up and coming guys. I'm youthful. I've got Chris Olave, Jordan Addison. I'm even thinking that I'm starting Jaden Reed. I'm nervous about it, but I've been watching him absolutely blow up on my taxi squad, so I finally upgraded him from the taxi squad, so I'm excited to maybe start him. I do have Christian Kirk, who I just lost, Jerry Jeudy, Darnell Mooney, George Pickens, Zay Flowers. All of those guys are kind of in the mix. Zay Flowers is probably the next guy that would get put into that lineup if I didn't have Jaden Reed. So it's kind of a toss up. All of these guys are kind of in that same range where they're like wide receiver twos or threes. I don't have a solid wide receiver one because Chris Olave hasn't stepped up enough. He's currently top 18. So Jordan Addison, I think top 20, again in that wide receiver two range. So looking for some more stuff from them. I am regretting a trade that I made a little bit at the beginning of the season, where I made a trade for Christian Kirk in a first round pick, and I traded away George Pickens, or sorry, not George Pickens, Michael Pittman, that's his name.
Pittman, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's currently the wide receiver 12. So I'm really regretting getting rid of him, but it does look like my pick is going to be a top 5 pick at least. So hopefully that kind of thing pays off a little bit. And Christian Kirk's been okay. He's been the wide receiver 28. So you know, I didn't lose too much there, but I'm a little bit disappointed there. Defenses, kickers, they're fine. I'm surviving. Same thing with tight end. I've got Cole Kmet, top six tight end. So he's a plus on the year in terms of, like, if you compare it across the board to everybody else. I also have Brevin Jordan and Kate Otten, some growth there. Kate Otten's been decent. I did just lose Tank Dell. I will say, actually, Tank Dell has been my number one wide receiver in recent weeks.
That was tough.
That really sucks. And actually, Tank Dell lost me my week in a playoff game. I was up by 20 going into the week, and I started Tank Dell in front of, I'm pulling it up. In front of, Puka Nacua, who finally had another good game. No, not in our league, but in my home league. And Puka had, what's that?
You did steal somebody from me, somebody I was bidding on. Oh, it was Justice Hill. Never mind.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, but Puka scored 21.9 points, and Tank Dell gave me a big fat zero, and I lost by 10. So I would have beaten the guy by 10 points if I had done the opposite. But there was no way I was benching my beautiful Tank Dell, who's really the love of my life for a few weeks. I'm just kidding. My wife is the love of my life.
Tank Dell is a close second.
Close second, though. He's just so little. He's just so little. He's only 2 inches taller than me.
That is hilarious.
Oh god. So that's where my league's at. I think we should talk about playoffs. So for those people like me that are in the playoffs.
Yeah, no shots thrown at me, but yes.
So the big question is, you made it, now what?
Yeah, you made it, not me.
Yeah,
you're saying I made it.
I made it. Now what? Okay. Now what? So what can you do, you know, to actively help your chances during the playoffs? Well, definitely keep on the waivers. There will be guys that become relevant, and even in Dynasty, that'll pop up that, you know, could win you weeks in the playoffs. Injuries happen and guys go off. I think right now, one of the rookies, top guys that, again, in Dynasty is probably on a team, but Parker Washington just looked great in Jacksonville. Now, of course, he doesn't have his quarterback going into this week, but we just talked about Xavier Gibson. He's coming on on the Jets. So some interesting guys popping up. But more importantly, don't be afraid to play defense against your opponents based on what their needs are. If they need a tight end, and there happens to be a tight end on the waivers, or if they need a really good running back, you're stacked at running back, you really don't need it, you're not going to start them, still grab them to play defense against your opponents. And same thing if your league has defenses or kickers, same kind of thing, probably more important in that space. Maximize your roster space as always. And most importantly here, Chip, don't mess up your starts. You know, start the right guys.
You're talking about me?
Yeah. I'm not start the right guys. No, I think if anybody has, out of the two of us, if anybody messes up their starts more, it's definitely me. Like, I'm playing with house money most of the time, and I still lose like four games.
I'm messing up my starts, man. I got a whole bunch of bums on the bench.
Yeah.
Ain't much to mess up.
So there are a lot of cliches that bounce around my head, and I wanted to get your take, Dr. Chibb, on this. What cliches do you buy into? Which ones do you, which ones are you totally out on? So I'm going to just go through them, and then you tell me what you're feeling, what your feelings are on them. Don't get cute. Trust your gut. Trust the matchups. Trust the projections. Do your own homework. Don't play chicken with injuries. And don't be a chicken with injuries. I made up the last two because I didn't have a good cliche for them. But they are like, they are things that people think about. And I'll explain those two because they're weird. Don't play chicken with injuries, meaning if somebody is injured or questionable going into a week and right up until game time, you're not starting them. You bench them just out of risk. You're anti-risk, right? That's what don't play chicken with injuries is. Whereas don't be a chicken with injuries is you got to start your guys that are good. You know, so if Jamar Chase is questionable right up until game time, but he's playing, you play him. So that's kind of what that means is don't bench your elite guys because of something silly like a late injury. So what do you think about all of these?
The injuries don't make sense. Like if someone is questionable and you can hear me, right?
Yep.
Okay. If someone is questionable and like and it's real close to the game, yeah, don't mess around with that. Just go ahead and put in the people you know is gonna be healthy. Don't be a chicken. I think that's more about think about the situation. I think that's one where I can buy into it, but I buy into it based on the situation. For example, the Ravens, they're probably gonna lock up the number one seed, right? When our playoffs start, they're resting players, right? Or potentially they're trying to see, okay, do we need this win? Like certain teams may be in that situation. Do we need this win or do we want to kind of not risk hurting certain players, right? And so they may play a little differently, which can actually affect your playoff strategy. But if you have a team who's fighting to get into the playoffs, you know for sure they're fighting. I might want to put some of those players in more than a team who's like, ah, we're good. You know, we can kind of skid by this one and just preserve ourselves for the future. But also you think about the mentality of the coaching staff. Some coaches are like, I don't care where we are. I want to smack every team I see. And we don't go out there, we're going to play hard. So that's where I feel like when you say don't be chicken, I can definitely see like, yeah, don't be chicken. But I guess you can only be as chicken as the team that's that's playing, right? Because if they're not chicken, now let's go, let's do this. But if they're playing scared a little bit, right, you might want to go ahead and pull back, right?
Depending. Right.
Now, the one about the trust your gut versus look at the stats and the projections, I 100% buy into trust your gut. I'm just like, hey, you got to fill this out. But the projections, I'm not a big buyer into it, but I am a big buyer into balance, right? I'm going to trust my gut, but look at the projections, right? And see what is the information that you're getting, right? So, for example, the Seahawks versus the 49ers. Right now, the 49ers are hot. They're smacking everybody. They want to prove, they have a point to prove to everybody. And no matter how much of the Seahawks and how young they are and how whatever, I just can't really pick them against the 49ers in any capacity, right? They're just killing, and they're killing everybody. Dallas got decimated. Eagles got eviscerated. And Seahawks got smacked, right? See how I used the entendres there? Like that?
Yeah, anyway. It was beautiful. That was well Thank done.
You. So my point is, you know, I'm going to trust my gut, but I'm not going to be dumb.
Well, your gut might be telling you it that what you might be speaking to is like trust your heart versus trust your gut. Your gut is telling you, right, that it's a bad play because they're the 49ers and they're great. And that's a bad play. But your heart is telling you, oh, yeah, my Seahawks. I got to pick with my Seahawks.
You know? But it's like, but I gotta look into the information, honestly. Like, for example, a team that I can trust, even though they're in a bad situation. And I'll explain. A team that I can actually trust are the Jaguars.
That's
Even though they're,
interesting.
yeah,
That's
they're
really
quarterback.
interesting because I would say the exact opposite.
It's
But
funny
go
because
for
I
it.
believe that this team will play for this coach.
Ah, okay.
That's what my gut's telling me, that they will step up for this coach. It's not the first time Doug Peterson took a team to the playoffs with a backup quarterback. I'm just saying. So this is like, hey, let's see that Dougie magic, Dougie Fresh. Let's do this thing. So I think, but I think he's galvanized this team to be different. I think this team will play in respect of their quarterback, where how far he's brought them, like to be 9 and almost 9 and 3, and have the top seed in the AFC. Like either you are what you are or you're not. And this is where the team has to grow and solidify that we are the kings of this division. And we are the kings of the AFC. They can make that statement without Trevor Lawrence, right? And Trevor Lawrence only adds to it. So that's why I can my gut says trust the Jaguars, right? Right? Logically, right? Their quarterback went down. I don't know. But my gut is saying trust them. And I'm just looking at the information on I'm looking at the social emotional information, not the medical information, and it tells me I think we can do this. I think that's not we. I think they can do this, right? So
Yeah.
that's my example.
So I think, for example, if you take that to the nth degree and you say, okay, they've got a good matchup. See, and I'm not sure that they do. No, it's Cleveland. Don't play CJ Beathard this week, please. but if you were to say, okay, CJ Beathard has a good matchup this week, I trust the Jaguars, even though it's a backup quarterback, I trust them. And you put in CJ Beathard over, somebody that is, doing decent, like kind of how Kirk Cousins was doing this year, where you're like, he's great, but this guy, he's gonna do something special this week. That to me falls under don't get cute. If you trusting too far or like taking a storyline and then taking it too far, that's what I feel like don't get cute is. And that's I find when I hate what I've done with a matchup or with a start, and like when I regret my starts the most, it's that. It's when I get a little too cute. I think I know a little bit more than the rest of the world, and I ignored the projections, I ignored the whatever, and I said, no, I see the timeline, I see where it's going. I am looking into my crystal ball, and and that's probably what I'm doing this week with Jaden Reed, is like I'm looking at it. He's got a good matchup. He's been really cool. He sucked last week, but that's okay.
Hey, just start CJ. Y'all can go ahead and start him. Don't worry about that. Don't listen to Data Prince. You know what we're talking about.
Against the Cleveland defense.
Yes, Cleveland don't got no quarterback. What they gonna do? What they gonna do about it?
Oh my
It's not like
gosh.
Cleveland gonna turn around and start scoring on them. Like we're gonna get the ball right back. Don't worry, CJ. Go out there and play. We'll get the ball back. Don't worry, buddy.
So what you're saying is that he's gonna set a all-time record for interceptions thrown in a game because it's gonna be like pick. All right, we get the ball back. Pick. All right, we get the ball back.
Listen, he's not Nathan Peterman, okay?
Oh.
I know you
All
wish. I
right,
know
we're
you wish
moving
someone
on.
can
We're
take over
moving
that
on.
situation for you, and so that could be off the blemish of the
Yeah.
Bills. But it's not gonna happen, my friend. Listen, Doug Peterson is gonna coach a great game. Just sit back, relax, and watch the game flow. It's gonna be fine.
All right, we're moving on. I think we got to do
Look,
starts of the
that boy
week.
Zay Jones, man, he's good.
We
I
got
like
things to do. Yeah. All
He said most
right,
picks ever. No, he's not Nathan Peterman.
let's
He's not gonna throw five picks in a row. It's not happening.
talk about week 13. Dude still has a job, I'm pretty sure too.
The Cleveland backfield is not even that elite. It's their pass rush that's been so amazing, and their run stop. That's what's been amazing about their defense, right? And the Jaguars haven't been leaning on their run game anyway.
Okay, Wait, can I revise my statement then?
Revise
He's
it.
he's gonna have the most fumbles in a single game. Is that better? Is that better?
That's better. That's better. Good job. No, but I'm gonna call the game plan. Snap the ball, get it out your hand as quick as possible. That's what's gonna happen. Right? So snap the ball, dump it, let's go. Screen plays, let's go.
That's Wait, it. No. There we go. Okay. Oh wow. Oh my god, my like all-time favorite player is tied for the record for most fumbles in a regular season game. Kurt Warner.
Hey, this guy must be Kurt.
And Chad Pennington. Those are the two. 6 fumbles in a single game.
We love Chad Pennington?
No. Kurt Warner.
It's funny because I love Chad Pennington when he was on the Jets.
Interesting. I never actually watched him. I think Chad Pennington was in. When did he play? Because I think he's like right in between the time that I watched. I watched when I was young. And no, because he was there when I was young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just don't think he was a good quarterback. No, I'm just kidding.
The Jets weren't a great team, but yeah. I always like rooting for an underdog.
Yeah. He had a decent amount of years with the Jets, like 7 years. Mm-hmm. Anywho.
I think he was a former Penn State quarterback, actually. I think. I'm not sure. I'll double check on that.
College was Marshall.
Well, never mind. Hey, I respect him even more now.
Top, you know, thundering herd.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, so for real, though, we're talking about starts of the week. How did we do last week? I'm just going to say, you know, that Will Levis take was a horrible take.
Hey, it was funny. I was just trying to support you, but clearly you have bad picks. I mean, I picked him in support of you, but you have bad picks. So I'm just going to stop.
I think he was a one-hit wonder at this point, honestly. I mean, he's like looked okay, but he's just – it's getting worse, it seems. Apparently somebody got film on him. I think that's what happened. They found his towel. So you chose quarterback Will Levis. He was bad. Chuba Hubbard was great for you versus the Buccaneers. That was a good call. Wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins versus the Colts was good. Gerald Everett versus Patriots was okay. Here's where you crashed and burned. Eagles versus San Francisco. I don't know what you're thinking. No, but that was bad.
I was in a distraught situation, so
that's okay. That's okay. But yeah, that did not go poorly. Or that went poorly. Jason Myers versus Cowboy, you chose with your heart. It was not great.
So I did choose my heart.
-2. Russell Wilson versus Houston was my quarterback. He was okay. Rico Dowdle versus Seattle, he was bad. Rashee Rice versus Green Bay, he was good. Bright spot on my team. Juwan Johnson versus Detroit, he had 0 points. Because Taysom Hill had all of the tight end points. Defense, New England versus Chargers was okay. Young Ho Koo versus New York Jets was good. So hopefully we do better this week. We both had -2. We tied for the second time this year. You're at 7 wins. I'm at 6. And that's not necessary. I guess that's not wins. That's just like points apparently now, since I'm giving us half points for ties. But yep. we've got two ties. All right. Do you want to do your week 14, guys?
All right, let's do it. Week 14, quarterback. I'm picking Jake Browning versus the Colts. Why are you laughing at that?
Yes, sir.
I think he's going to be good. I trust his process. Let's do it. You won't be laughing next week. Let's see that. Running back, I'm picking Tyler Allgeier versus the Buccaneers. This is a reach. Wide receiver, I'm picking George Pickens versus New England. That's another reach. Tight end, I'm picking Tucker Kraft versus the Giants. Another reach. Defense, I'm picking Tampa Bay versus the Falcons. That's not a reach. Kicker, Blake Groupie versus the Panthers. That's not a reach. All I'm saying is I'm picking reaches to give Alex a chance, and you are going to watch what happens next week.
I appreciate that. That's very helpful for me. I need this win. We need to tie it all up just for me to like crash and burn at the end of the season. So I appreciate
Alex that. Said, don't get cute, but guess who's getting cute?
Yeah, you're getting a little cute over there with your picks.
Nice and cute. I'm gonna break down this little thing he says don't buy into.
I will say that George Pickens is a nice little nugget that you found. And I don't hate Tyler Allgeier either, to be honest.
He's just covering his butt for when he loses. I'm a little concerned about that.
I feel like this is the second time. Oh, you did choose against the Buccaneers last week, and that went well for you. Is their defensive tackle injured over there, the Buccaneers? Because what's going on with that line?
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea what's going on with that team.
Yeah, because I mean, they've been a tough team to run against. I get scared of that team. But maybe that's last year and this is this year. Anyways, my quarterback is the same, Russell Wilson. I think we have about a 3 to 4 game stretch here where he might be usable. So better make use of him when you have it. Ty Chandler, I do think he's going to come back to relevance for Minnesota versus the Raiders at running back. Okay, I got to talk about this guy. Wide receiver Brandon Cooks is the most disrespected wide receiver this year. I swear to God, every time I turn and look at Brandon Cooks, he's scoring a decent amount of points in a week. You know, he's not lights out or anything, because we'd be taking notice, but he is putting up numbers. He's like the wide receiver 40 on the year, so he's not like shattering anything, but he's doing work for this Dallas team, and the projections are horrible. I don't know why they are projecting him for so low against a Philadelphia team that can't stop a single pass. I don't know what they're talking about. So Brandon Cooks versus Philadelphia, yes, please. He didn't do well last time. Hopefully he learned something this time.
Leave it unpicked. Go ahead, though.
Isaiah Likely versus the Rams. This is a fairly obvious one here. If you lost Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely's in now. I'm taking Cleveland versus Jacksonville because, again, I do not trust Jacksonville, especially with a backup quarterback. So give me Cleveland. Give me those, 7? I'm saying that C.J. Beathard is going to have 7 fumbles in this game. So I want those points. Matt Gay versus Cincinnati is my kicker. So, all right. Last segment. Before our wives tell us to leave the room. We've got some new dynasty top fives in my mind, and I want to talk about them. We're going to go through each of the 4 positions. This is entirely in my mind. I don't think Dr. Chibb has actually read this section yet, so he's going to react live to you guys, and we'll see how he feels. So here we go. Without further ado, quarterback, your new top 5 quarterbacks in Dynasty. Remember, Dynasty, so youth plays a role. Number 1, Josh Allen. Number 2, Jalen Hurts. Number three, Patrick Mahomes. Number four, Dak Prescott. Number five, CJ Stroud. Thoughts?
I guess I can agree to this because Josh Allen, he has the most running yards for his team every single week, it seems like. So that does add a lot. And he's been spreading the ball out pretty well. So, and they've been scoring points. So I can definitely agree with that. Jalen Hurts, I can see that too. That Phil Brotherly push or Brotherly shove, scoring the 1 yard line plenty of times and getting the ball out. Over the time, he's been getting a lot of good passes, like deep passes. You know, when you see AJ Brown going for 100 plus yards week in and week out, Smith getting 99 yards week in week out, I can definitely see that. Patrick Mahomes, it's impressive he's this high with the fact that nobody knows how to catch on his team. So I definitely respect that. And then Dak Prescott, his team's been cooking. I give a lot of respect to that, to him and to Mike McCarthy. He's been calling a great games for Dak. They've been sending the ball, and they're scoring almost just as fast as last year without Kellen Moore. So that's impressive. And then CJ Stroud, man, this guy got to be definitely in the MVP conversation. I do love him on this list, and I definitely respect that. Like, wholehearted mentality, straight dog in the situation and everything. And I mean, of course, The Ohio State University, they train him well, clearly. But he's good. He's talented. He works hard. He's focused on everything he does. And he just keeps slinging that ball. I mean, it's tough now with Tank Dell going down, but we'll see what they can come up with afterwards. So, yep. Yeah, definitely impressed. Yeah, I can definitely agree with this list based on that judgment that I provided.
Appreciate it. I would say, just to bring up a few honorable mentions, even one that I didn't even think about until we were talking here, and I realized, honestly, it probably is a little bit of an oversight, but I still don't think I'd put him in the top five. So that guy's Anthony Richardson, who, of course, is injured. But as a rushing quarterback, second year, you know, I think I have some excitement for him. He looked really good in his first few starts. Another couple honorable mentions, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, who I think is our number – he'd be my number six guy is Justin Herbert. And then, of course, Lamar Jackson in there as well. Brock Purdy deserves some mention here, as does Sam Howell. Both of those guys are young and looking pretty good just in terms of utility at the quarterback position for fantasy football. So moving on to running backs. Number one, I don't see how he moves. It's Christian McCaffrey. He's just different. I don't think he can even take age into consideration yet with him. He's overcome injuries, and that might have actually extended his shelf life.
That is true.
Number two.
I can't disagree with that one, being that number one.
Appreciate it. And that makes sense. I think you tend to take a little bit less youth into consideration. And I think it's important to see with running backs here, I'm definitely, like, running back is the position where youth means so much more to me than anything else. Well, not than anything else. They need to be good, too. Travis Etienne, he has been phenomenal. He's RB2 in some leagues, some formats. Definitely a top dog here, shown that he is who we thought he was coming out of school. He's in his third year, though, so we're really looking at one more good year out of him, and then potentially a second contract where things start to become problematic.
I will say, additionally, with whatchamacallit going down, with Lawrence going down, I'm thinking that he actually might become more of a focus.
Maybe.
And that's gonna bode well for him.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's kind of usually a toss-up because if he's getting more yards but not getting the touchdowns because they're not as good of a team, that could be something that balances that out a little bit. Devon Achane is my number three. He's just been so lights out in the games that he's played this year. He did have a big injury, but he's back. If he finishes this year strong, I think he does sit atop everybody's top five dynasty running backs, just with his youth and with his explosiveness. He's just, again, lights out.
He did last week.
What's that?
I know he was back last week. Did he play?
Yeah, he played. Oh, he played. Oh yeah. He was let's see if I can get a rank for you on the week. That was week 13. He was RB4. He was 25.5 points in our league.
That's impressive.
And that's his second in games that he played all of, like he had a full load. That's his second worst game. He had 55 points in 1 week. That's with four touchdowns and 233 yards from scrimmage.
That wow.
Yeah, it's incredible. All right. Kyren Williams is my RB4. Again, a guy that we had some hopes for, but really he was kind of an afterthought, and he's the RB7 right now. He just put up a 39-point game, a 20.8 game. He is the dude in on the Rams in Los Angeles. So I'm excited about his future. This is just his second year, so we've got some good years. And then my number five, he's been kind of disappointing for what we wanted out of him, and I do not trust his team. But that being said, his talent is so high, and he's still the RB12 on the year. Bijan Robinson has to make the list. He was made the list as a rookie. So honestly, I think this shows a fall in his value. I would say that he was the RB1 coming into the year. And I think just with the lack of utilization, Bijan has kind of fallen a little bit, until he has a new coach. If he gets a new coach, I think he rockets back up to number one because he has the talent to be the best guy here.
Some people don't get fired, don't worry.
We'll see. We'll see. All right. Any complaints there in the running backs?
Not at all, actually. No, is there a running back that I would put in here that's doing anything amazing? Not really.
From
Not
a
really.
youth perspective, all right. We've got some honorable mentions to give here. So the
I
one
know
that I
James Cook did well this year, but I don't know how he's been in continuation. And then the running back on the Colts did really well this year so far, but then I know they brought back Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, Zach. So Zach Moss, but he's garbage. I mean, speaking as a Bills fan, but like they did really good things with Zach Moss, but they might as quickly turn around and, send him off on the streets. I don't think he's going to be doing too much. Brian Robinson Jr. has been quite good for Washington.
That's true.
I just think there's too much competition for him to really be in this conversation, but he is in the top 12 right now, and he is young. There's not much investment in him, but the guy that I probably should be, lashed to a pole for forgetting is actually Jahmyr Gibbs. I do think he's worth having just as an honorable mention here. And the reason for that is I'm trying to find him on the list. He's not even the top dog on his team. He's the 21st best running back. So I think he deserves to be in the conversation, but just because of his youth and his talent, not because of what he's doing so far. He's flashed, but he hasn't taken over. So everybody else has kind of taken over in some respect, at least, you know, as long as we kind of close one eye and when we look at Bijan Robinson.
That's true.
All right, wide receivers. Number one, CeeDee Lamb. Number two, Justin Jefferson. Number three, Ja'Marr Chase. Number four, Tyreek Hill. Number five, A.J. Brown. So,
talk to me about Tyreek. Why is he so low?
Age. That's the only reason. And honestly, because of age, you'll, even at the wide receiver position, once you hit 30, there's like a 50-50 shot every year that you're going to fall off. It's actually far worse than that, probably. It's probably more like a 25% chance that you're still going to be relevant. Even that might be, you know, pretty good odds when we're talking about fantasy football. But Tyreek Hill is, if we look at the season stats, at least in our league, and our league is kind of biased towards big plays, but Tyreek Hill has 60 more points than the next closest wide receiver. Yeah. So for that reason, he's on the list. His lack of youth, he is currently 29. He's going to be 30 next year. Is the only thing keeping him so low. I did scramble the top three. CeeDee Lamb is currently our number two wide receiver in the year. He's basically the one that has a healthy quarterback and didn't get injured himself. Whereas Justin Jefferson got injured and Ja'Marr Chase lost his quarterback a couple times this year. So I think, you've got some Mars on the surface with Ja'Marr and Justin Jefferson. And I think CeeDee Lamb is coming out looking pretty sparkly clean. And A.J. Brown at number five. He's the number four wide receiver right now. Top six guys that I left off, Mike Evans and Keenan Allen, they're just too old. And Stephon Diggs is up there. Honorable mention is Amon-Ra St. Brown, for sure.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I was gonna actually talk about Debo, but I realize he's been injured a lot this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Brandon Ayuk is actually the better wide receiver on that team.
Yeah. Does Debo's running back runs count towards
points? Yeah. Yeah, they do. If Tank Dell hadn't gotten injured, he'd probably be up on this list. Puka Nacua, if he was still looking as good as he was at the beginning of the year. Nico Collins is kind of coming on. So you got some DJ Moore, some youth movement a little bit. DJ's not that young. Michael Pittman. So you got some players there, but I think these are the guys that, you know, it's a slim list. It's hard to get into the top five wide receiver club. I think the other clubs are usually a little bit easier. Moving into the easiest club to get into, the tight ends. I took youth to the nth degree, I think, here when I was making the list. Number one, Sam Laporta. I mean, he's going to set the rookie record. For if he stays healthy, he's going to set the rookie record for yards to a tight end rookie. this guy is the best there is out there right now in terms of hotness. I think he's the top tight end on the year. No, sorry. He's top three. There's still two ahead of him. But that as a rookie, sky's the limit, right? So I love Sam Laporta, number one. Number two, TJ Hockenson. He's the number two on the year right now. I'm putting him at number two. I think he deserves it. He's got some youth on his side. He's 26. In some leagues, he is the number one wide receiver, or number one tight end on the year. So definitely interesting. Number three. This might be too soon, but Trey McBride on Arizona has been absolutely lights out. And maybe it's because he just killed me on last week. He's the tight end 10 or 9, depending on your league format. And he's just looked incredible over the last stretch of games. Really coming on for Arizona in the absence of Zach Ertz. And I think he's the real deal. So definitely give me some Trey McBride moving forward. Number four, Cole Kmet. He's kind of been my guy. Steady Eddie for me. He's the tight end 7 or 6 in some formats. Not really. This isn't too crazy, but, you know, he's just young and he's good. And he's probably just going to get better as the years go on. So I like him. Number five is Travis Kelce. He has to be on this list, right? It's just that we're counting the days, I think. And he's definitely slipped a little bit.
It's funny. The only player that I'm like that needs to be on this list is Dalton Kincaid.
You know, and he is on my team, but see, he hasn't cracked the top 12. And next year he still has to contend with another tight end on his roster. Right. So I think he's been doing what he's doing without the other tight end. So I don't know. I don't think he's really done enough yet. But that being said, by the end of the year, maybe he will have. He's got the opportunity. But
we'll see. I like him a lot. I just like the way he plays.
Yeah. No, And I don't think you're totally wrong. I think he came to my mind, of course, as a Bills fan, right? But I think I kept him out just because of I wanted to mention Trey McBride and Cole Kmet, but B, I also want to see a bit more out of him to really see that, you know, he stepped into that role, but he's definitely the primary honorable mention here. George Kittle and Mark Andrews are probably the other two snubs. I think they're just age. Age is the issue. Right. So yeah.
That makes sense. I can see that. I mean, yeah, he did a good job making these picks. I mean, I guess the only one I had an issue with is Tyreek Hill, but for me, Tyreek's age wouldn't really bother me because of how well he takes care of his body. But what bothered me the most with Tyreek is how much he's talked about retirement.
Exactly. That's a good point, too.
That's the only thing that bothers me. So, because, like, right now, I mean, and also he has this goal where he wants to get 2,000 yards in the season and he's on track to do it. And I wonder if he achieves that goal, does he just like, all right, I'm done. You know, it's like – is that, or there anything else he's willing to fight for? You know what I mean? That's the only reservation I have when.
Yep. All right, you want to close us out?
This is fun. I really enjoyed this one. Next week we'll be back, and you all will see that I won. I won week 14. But with that being said, thank you everybody for joining us. Next week we're talking week 14 and week 15.
Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast wherever you listen.
That's our weekly podcast, y'all. Don't forget, choose happiness and spread love.